Well, we are actually sharing in this moment, we are actually sharing on spiritual wars, and this is a subtopic on the subject we've been speaking, the gym of faith. And we have had a journey on faith, and we are speaking and trying to break this word faith in a manner of understanding scripture. Once again, there are so many people who actually do not understand their own faith, and they think they believe, yet they do not. And this is why this teaching is coming. This teaching exposes ignorance and educates one to actually understand the fundamentals, where you begin to realize who you are and how to use your faith. What shall profit you to say you have faith in Christ, yet every single prayer you ever prayed, there was no solution? Now, one must be asking themselves a question: why everything I pray for, I have no answer? If this is a God of the Bible, if this is the God that we all serve, why in the Bible we have testimonies, and why when some of us pray, we have testimonies, and why when you pray, nothing happens? That's where scripture says we need to go back to elementary teachings, where we begin to understand what really are we in? What is this? Who are we? If I would be doing business, all right, or doing a course, and that course, no matter how hard work I work, and I keep on failing, I will not continue working hard in the way I was working before. I'm going to change strategy. And this strategy would be, I remember when I was at school, and I think I shared this some years ago, that, you know, I was so good in all other subjects, like very good. I would have distinctions. All right? But on mathematics, I would pass, but not as I wanted to pass. Unlike Prophet Hara, who was a wizard of mathematics. So when we pray, because my school and his school were not far away from each other, and would actually meet after school and share notes. Imagine you are not good in mathematics. Just a very good example. And you're working so hard and you are not doing well. Okay? Another wizard of mathematics is here. So you agree to sit together. All right. So now imagine you're a student and you're having problems in maths. You pass, but you're not happy with how you're passing. Now imagine you would not just continue doing how you're doing. And I had to change strategy. And that strategy helped me, because that is what made me actually do better than actually what I thought. So the strategy was, I'm going to have to understand this from people who understand the mathematics. You get it? So my teacher was a soldier. The reason why I had issues with mathematics, it is I was at a military school where I was doing my school. It's a military school. It's a barracks. So there's a military school there. And I was there. And my teacher would come in class in a military uniform. And he said, anyone who's going to argue or ask any simple question is going to understand the meaning of military. So he wasn't friendly. Now imagine you have such type of a situation. What will you do? You want to rely on understanding mathematics from the teacher. You have to find another source. Am I talking to you? Are you going to ignore the subject if you really love the subject? No. But what I'm going to do is to understand. So the fact that you are not doing well does not mean that those who are doing well do not exist. They exist. There are people who are doing well in the same subject. So the fact that you are not doing well, it does not mean everyone else is not doing well. Similarly, with the faith, the fact that you are praying is not working, it doesn't mean everybody else is not working. The fact that you think God does not exist because you have not seen him, it doesn't mean he does not exist. It's like me. There are people who know me and they know I exist. But there are people out there who have never heard about my name. To them, I don't exist. To those who have seen me, I exist. My wife is saying very much. You exist very much. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So the fact that you do not exist, it does not mean that you don't exist in reality. Because the concept of being, it is you exist because I have seen you. So the fact that I have not yet seen you, it must not monopolize my ideology to say that because I have not seen God, then he does not exist. What about those like us who have seen him? What about some of us who we were talking with him this morning? He does not exist in your world. So when we are speaking on the subject of faith, it is very important. That's why I've taken all this while, because I want everybody else to get into a circle where they begin to realize reality. Merits, facts. Otherwise, you will be following blindly. And Apostle Paul warns against such in many scriptures that we are not like those who follow blindly. I'm talking to you right. So imagine you are a child of God, you claim you have faith, and everything you pray for, nothing is being answered. What will you do as a mathematics student? Where? I have to find people who can explain to me mathematics. So when we are talking about this subject matter, it is something to do with enlightenment. Say enlightenment. Enlightenment. Where a person must now realize to say, wait, where am I getting this whole thing wrong? So when we are speaking from that context, we begin to realize that, wait, so God exists, miracles exist, the power exists, but I think there is a place where I was wrong. Now we begin to realize, where does it get wrong? So we begin to learn faith, and we spoke about faith. And we begin to understand the extended faith vision, where we do not just learn faith as a subject, but where we begin to expound the intelligence of faith. So when we speak into the intelligence of faith, or in the intelligence of faith, we begin to understand the expanded versions. For example, do I just believe there is God? Wait, okay, I believe there is God, okay? God exists, he's there. All right, and the question must be, what next? You must also believe how the same God works. But how will you believe? Scripture says, how will they believe unless they were taught? Am I talking to you? Unless they are taught. Then Scripture says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word. So we begin to explain now. Am I trying to talk to you? When it comes to the subject of faith, I'm very apologetic. I really want to make people understand this subject of faith. Get into this now. So imagine we are talking about faith. So Right now we are speaking about faith. If you have faith, how do you use your faith? Now we began to expound. Now this is what we spoke. One, you must understand that your faith is not faith if your faith cannot see in the spirit. Because faith, the whole word faith, has got eyes. Faith simply is to see, not with the physical or natural eyes. By faith, we see things which others do not. The whole faith, it is to do with the seeing what others are not seeing. If you are having cancer and you want to be healed, you must see yourself healed. Now that seeing, that type of seeing, it is what we're talking about. So if you are able to see, if you are able to see, then you can have faith. If you can see what others can't see, then you can develop what? Faith. So the whole teaching I'm teaching you, it is what gives people eyes to see. Because if you see, if you can see a way where there is no way, then that is faith. I'm talking to you right. Now, so we began to explain that God, the first thing that he does, even Jesus said it. He said, before prayer, you must be able to see. So he said, watch and pray. The word watch there is the word ra. Or is the word what? I used to hear you. I know already some people have already forgotten about it. Shoma. So to ra or shoma. Shoma is Hebrew word. Ra. What is to ra? What is to shoma? Shoma or ra? Ra, R-A-A-H. Ra. It means seeing purposely or intentionally in order for you to act. The type of seeing, it is where only a God uses. Somebody who's watching over something uses. So if you have faith, then you must be able to ra. If I am seeing a miracle which others are not seeing, it means I am seeing not just for me to sit down, but for me to act. A woman who touched Jesus' hem, scripture says, for she said in her heart, if I touch the hem, I'll be healed. But it didn't end there where she just said in her heart. She acted. She actually did it. So we are seeing here an intentional act of purpose where somebody purposely makes a step in order to receive what they saw, in order to experience what they saw. I prophesy. Everything you are seeing about you, yes, shall come to pass. Yes. Now, let's explain faith here. Are we still here? Yes. Now, let me explain something to you. So, that ra, that sing or shoma, it is the same that we spoke the whole 2 months, 3 months about Ezekiel 3 verse 17 where God says now, to Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman. It's not just being a man of God to say, I am praying. No, but you are a watchman. In the spirit, you have spiritual obligation. You should see and you should act. And God said, if you don't act, even if you saw, but you didn't act and something bad happens to Israel, their blood will be upon your head. So this is when we are developing eyes of Ra, eyes of Shoma, where We take the same concept of this of historical, biblical examples and ancient history where watchers, watchmen would sit upon the tower of the city. They'll climb the tower and they'll begin to watch if enemies are coming. And the tower could be built or could be a high elevated position like a mountain. Two, their cities were fortified with walls. They would build a wall to protect their city. Three, their cities had gates. So whenever you see the word watch, God already is putting you in three positions. The tower, over the walls, and over the gates. And I explain to you why the gates, because the gates are the access, the entry points. Now, I want you to see something here. So, we have the gates. The fact that we stopped teaching about the gates, it does not mean that gates stopped existing. Me this morning was standing on a gate and I was praying over spiritual gates. And some people, they are done the teaching and they're moving on. That's how people will remain all the terms behind. Because this teaching is a practical exercise that you should actually use as a believer. And we are not making them. They exist in the spirit. Now, let's go into here. Now, imagine scripture saying it in this way. Are you still here? Yes. Jesus saying, watch and pray. So we speak about God getting positioning over the gate where you control access. You are in total control, or you lose control. You have no control of what comes in your life or what comes out. So the enemy can actually control your gate. In the scripture, if you read your Bible in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Samuel, he who controlled the gates controlled the city. If you're under siege or the city is besieged or is surrounded by the enemy, once they control your gate, it's over. Because the word besiege now is in effect. For example, the war of Samaria. We read the scripture telling us how there was hunger in Samaria. How people began to eat each other because of hunger. And the scripture says there were enemies, soldiers of Syria at the gate. And because of that, they had no access to come out. There was no any activity. The whole logistic chain collapsed. There was nothing coming in, nothing coming out. Are you here? The supply chain was disrupted. Why? Because the enemy was controlling what? The gate of Samaria. The prophet spoke a word. What did he say? By tomorrow morning, at the gate. Then he said, this is how things will be setting. And the lepers who were hiding decided, we can't hide anymore. Let's walk towards the gate. Now at the gate, that's where soldiers were sitting. When the lepers were walking towards the gate, the scripture says, the soldiers had a number of, when the four lepers were walking, God caused the soldiers to hear many people coming. Not because there were a lot, but because the prophet spoke. The voice of a prophet became a terrifying voice of soldiers marching, coming towards the soldiers of Syria. And they said, you know what? Can you hear that sound? Let's run. And they ran. They left God. They left resources. They left wheat. They left everything. And when the lepers came, there was a blunder. Are you here? And the disrupted supply chain was restored. And the economy was restored. Because now they were in charge over their gates. This is what happens when the enemy blocks your gate. That the supply chain is disrupted. What is supposed to come to you, the enemy blocks it. Because he knows that this can come to you. So the enemy will stop you from getting it. Until you take possession of your own gates. Then you can control your supply chain. I'm talking to somebody, right? Now imagine, I've given you just one example. How gates are very important in the spirit. Control your supply chain. Control your logistical channel. Otherwise, the enemy will control it and nothing will happen. The people of Israel, the people of Samaria, they were in serious financial constraint. Why? Because their gates were possessed by the enemy. Am I talking to you? This is why God promised Abraham, your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Because possessing the gate, it is very important in the spirit. Because you possess the entry point and access point. If the enemy blocks your healing, you get your healing because you're in charge over your gates. Somebody shout again, I'm a gatekeeper. I'm in charge over access. Now, this is only one place where God puts a person as a watcher. But it gets even more interesting when that person begins to act. Because if you claim you have faith and then things are not coming to you, then something is wrong. That's what I told you earlier on to say that it is not just enough to say you have faith. Because scripture says you claim you have faith, but there are no works. I'm trying to talk to somebody. You claim you have what? But there are no works. The scripture says faith without works is dead. So if you claim you have faith, you may be saying the truth. Only that the name of that faith is called dead faith. It's also faith, but scripture calls it dead. Can I tell you my faith? Can I speak to you my faith? Yes. By this time next year, no one will know. In fact, your entire life will turn around. Now let's wait for your faith now. Tomorrow somebody will wake up and still thinking, how will this thing be? And someone will say, the prophet said. The distinct of recipients. The difference between receivers. Same word, same voice, different reception. As I'm teaching, what are you seeing? Some in charge. So if things are not happening, now you may think, so why? I believe nothing is happening. Now you are able to see through the teaching that wait, looks like my supply chain is disrupted. Now that you know, you have to act. So faith works properly when a person who is using it knows exactly what they're doing. Two, we spoke of the wars. So wars. A war is a pira, elevated pira, that is intentionally built in order to protect a house, a city, or a location. Walls are built in different styles. Weak walls, fortified walls. The fact that it's a wall, it does not mean it can't be breached. I have seen wars where thieves still go in and steal and come out. And I've seen wars where you cannot even enter. The difference of wars is fortification. Scripture, which we're not going to read because of time, but we're going to read other scriptures in a few minutes, tells us if The foundations are destroyed. What can a righteous do? What can the righteous do? That scripture is decoded from the concept of wars. When the walls of Jerusalem have fallen, what will the people of Israel do? They are exposed to attacks. Any nation can enter, go in and kill everyone and come out. That's where the scripture, that's what it talks about. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What does it mean? It also means the same are with you. If your walls are destroyed, what will you do? What will you do? Now you may claim you have faith, but faith has got two sides, offensive faith and defensive faith. Let me explain. Somebody say offensive. Offensive, it is a kind of faith where you use faith to stop the advance of the enemy. Well, defensive faith is when you're already in trouble and you are defending yourself. Unfortunately, 90% or 99% of believers are using defensive faith. They are already in a financial problem and now they are saying, in the name of Jesus, I'll come out. Am I talking to you? They are already in a problem. A marital issue is happening right now. And they are trying to defend themselves. At the very same time, faith is also an offensive weapon. Where before the sickness, you begin to speak, I will not be sick. But how many are doing it? Very few. Why? They are waiting sickness to come for them to confess, I will be healed. It's offensive. Now, when you say offensive, offensive is when you actually attack. For what? Offensive operation. I was doing an offensive operation. There is now no battle that I'm dealing with right now. But I went for an offensive operation. Clearing the landmines before you go. Not already you are there and landmines are ba bam all over. And then you say, what? We need to clear these ones. Now, how do you know that maybe, in fact, you have even passed some already? Now you want to go back? You have already entered in a very dangerous field. But you have to clear them before you go. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
If faith will be understood in this manner, most of you will enjoy your Christianity and your faith. Because faith, it is not just an idea. Like, I believe. And then you are living like the way you are. Struggling and suffering. Faith has to be proven. We must see. We must see. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
God can set you when he says, watch. What God is trying to do is he wants you to see. Now, you can either operate over the gates or you can operate over the walls or the tower. Now, on the walls, when we speak of walls, as I said before, these are fortifications. Primarily meant to act as beacons of territory. When you see a person building a wall around his house, in fact, he's telling you that these are my boundaries.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So it's not just for protection. Sometimes also it's an announcement to say everything within these walls, they are mine. So when you go inside his walls and begin to farm, It is a very serious trespass. And I'm telling you, that person has a right even to take a gun and shoot you. And you actually say that, I'm sorry, I found this person with a weapon in my fence, and this was my defense. Am I talking to you? Okay. So let's look. How many types of wars do we have? In fact, we have a lot of types of wars in the spirit. We shared some on the last service. And today I will remind you some of those and give you some more of those wars. Now, we spoke about one, the war of what? The war of ministry. Ministry, God can use ministry as your war. Okay? Ministry can become what? A war. However, we can actually simplify some of these wars and put them in one war. A very good example, we can put all these into a war of or territorial wars. Territory. A territory, it is a space. It is beyond geographical location. There are people who are very good in some territories. A very good example, in the prophetic ministry, people know that in Africa there is that prophet, there is that prophet, there is that prophet, there is that prophet. These prophets, they have shaken in the prophetic. In other words, these people, they are in charge of a specific territory in the prophetic. In apostolic, there are also people in Africa, we know that man is an apostle, that one, they have also taken over in the apostolic. So me as a prophet, I'm enjoying my space, my territory. I'm talking to you, right? So I'm just giving an example. Similarly, as I said, we can group some of these into one because we shared them already in the last service. Business is also a territory. I'm talking to you, right? So there are people who are doing well, okay? So imagine there's somebody else I'm also putting on. I'm also making my own spaceship. I'm sending to the space. People be like, this is a territory of Elon Musk. I'm talking to you, right? In other words, so business, whether some are, you know. So the problem is there are people who want to venture in territories of others which are already controlled by apex predators. People or companies, institutions that are already doing well and you want to enter there. Is it possible to enter? It is. However, you must understand the wars. That's why Jabez made a prayer. Oh Lord, enlarge my territory. Because what he was trying to mean, he was not meaning that there is a line of a fence. No, he was meaning influence. He was meaning influence, brand influence, his name, his influence. Not that there was a house and then there was a line drawn around his house and then they should enlarge it. So when we speak of a territory, we mean influence. So what we mean when we say walls of your spiritual or your territorial integrity, what we mean is there is a space that God has given you that you must watch over. Some of you, God has given you ministry as your war, and you must watch over those wars that nothing must happen. And there are people who it's a business. So how does a business become your war? Here we go. Come over here. Now, what will make... Can you stand up as well? This man is a fence, all right? And this man is inside the fence. So what will make me fail to go into this building? It is because there's a what? A fence. Now, imagine God has given this man a business. Hello? There are problems which are facing this man because he has got no anyone source of income. And his business becomes what? Source of income. There are problems which are failing to get hold of him because of the war of business. So this man becomes a business, a source of his income. If there is something coming, debts coming, stress coming, this one answers. In other words, what is his war? So the business is acting as a what? A war. So if the enemy wants to attack this man, he does not come to attack this man. He will look for what are the wars in his life. That's why scripture says, when the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? So what the enemy will do, he will not attack this man, but he will attack what is defending this man. This is why the devil said to God, how would I touch Job? Well, he is what? Protected by a hedge. You protected Job with a hedge. How would I touch him? It took God to remove the hedge. And how would God remove the hedge? God said, I allow you to touch everything he has. What did he have? Now we look at the types of wars that Job had. One, business wars. His whole business collapsed. The business war collapsed. What other war we have? Family wars, which we spoke. His whole family collapsed. Am I talking to you? Some say we are rebuilding the walls tonight. Come on. Some say we are rebuilding the walls. Say broken walls will be built again. So if the enemy wants to attack this man, he looks at the walls. This is why it's very important to understand what are the walls in my life. Like myself, I know how many walls I have. I've got 17 walls. Which I can't tell you. Because I don't know how many Delilahs we have. And my hair may be cut. I hear, right? So every person must understand what are the walls. So when I am doing war mapping, you may be seated. When we're doing what? War mapping, because you have to map your walls. You must sit down and map, what are my walls? Because some of them you don't even pay attention, but they are breached. Am I talking to you? Slowly, your influence is being eaten. Now, if your influence is being eaten in a business or in ministry or in your marriage, slowly, the man is no longer loving you like before. In other words, your territory is being what? Taken. Can you imagine what this whole space in your relationship, before you know it, the influence is becoming closer? Like, what happened? Things were not like this. The enemy is breaching. There is a territory the enemy is taking. Somebody say, I watch over my walls. Now, listen to me. So when we are praying, because when we are praying, there are people who just say, we are praying, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, rakabarabanderebe. The enemy says, no, wait, finish. You are very covered. There's so much fire around you. But I'm not going to come after you. I'll come after your walls. Because they are left. How many of you actually watch over your business? How many of you watch over this your gates? The chain, the entry. How many of you? I was talking to my partners last night. I said, there are many people who actually, the difference between the poor and the rich is so simple. It's one. The poor control money, while the rich control the cash flow. You didn't hear me? The poor control the money, while the rich, they control the system that brings in the money. So a poor person, when they are praying for money. Father, I pray for breakthrough. When they're thinking breakthrough, they're thinking money. If I can have money, if I can have what? Well, rich people, they're thinking what? Systems that bring the money. You're not the same. Rather, should you say, we are not the same. Somebody say, we are not the same. No, say it as a rich person. So rich people pray systems. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, okay? Quickly. 62, verse 6 to 7, message.
I've posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. Day and night they keep at it, praying, calling out, reminding God to remember.
Imagine, just let's stop there for now. God has put watchmen where? On the walls, doing what?
Praying, calling out, reminding God to remember.
Let's go ahead.
They are to give him no peace until he does what he said.
Jesus.
Until he makes Jerusalem famous.
Imagine.
As a city of prayers.
Imagine. What are your woes? And what are you doing over your walls? Imagine that the walls of Jerusalem, they are people that God has raised to intercede, to pray, give God no rest. And to Jerusalem is known as a seat of praise. Did it happen? It happened. We're in Malawi right now, we're talking about Jerusalem. Everybody's fighting for Jerusalem. Muslims, everyone. In the UN, they'll be actually fighting for Jerusalem. This year, in this month of September, in the UN, on the 23rd, they'll be meeting, I think on the 24th, they'll be meeting and discussing about how maybe we share the land, maybe we do this. So I've set up watchmen. These are not just people who are watching. The Bible says they are doing something. They are praying over the walls. Reminding God of his promises. What are your woes? Calling out. So we shared these woes, and today I'm putting them into what we call territorium, because I already shared them already. Now I'm continuing today. So we also have got the health woes. We spoke about health woes. Yes. Remember? Yes. That the enemy may actually breach. You are doing what you're able to do because you are healthy. Your woes are your state of being. You are okay. The moment the enemy attacks you and you are blind, you can't do what you are doing. So your health acts as also a woe. You are able to do what you are doing. There are people right now that are failing to do things because they are not okay. This is why you need to reclaim your woes of your health. Someone say, I reclaim.
I rebuild.
I fortify
the broken walls.
Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12. Can you read it?
For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
So for wisdom is a defense.
As money is a defense.
And I told you that your finances are what? Your wars. And if the enemy wants to attack you, what will he destroy? Your walls. Imagine an army wants to attack a country and the country is surrounded with a wall. What will they do first? Will they attack you first or destroy your walls? Now imagine your life. Your life is just collapsing because your finances are what? Destroyed. Once your walls are removed, that's it. So as I'm speaking to you, if you understand that God has given you walls, walls, fortifications. And as I'm talking to you right now, I hear the Lord saying, I am releasing a new chapter. And I'm giving them a wall which the enemy will not break. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as I'm ministering to you, how many says, prophet, I used to have a business, or I had a career, or I had a job, or something was moving on, but prophet, it has collapsed. Can I see your hand where you are watching me from? And you are saying, I need this to be rebuilt, because we are rebuilding broken walls. Wherever you're watching, if there was a system that was giving you money or finances, but that system collapsed, the enemy attacked it. Father, in the name of Jesus, as a prophet, I stand with them. We are calling out your name. We are reminding you, Father, of your faithfulness. Let the walls be rebuilt. We rebuild the broken ruins. In the name of Jesus. Say amen. Let's go into the further scripture. The wall of protection. Nehemiah 1 verse 3. Can you read it?
And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in a great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.
Can you imagine? How many things? What and what? Walls and the gates. And it's like somebody I'm talking to, right?
Yes.
Your walls are damaged. Even the gates, you have no access. Imagine your wall. Okay, let's say maybe, for example, your wall is ministry, or your wall is your prayer life, because we have got spiritual walls, which we already spoke, I think, the other day. Spiritual walls are your prayer life, your faith. It's going to be broken. It can be invaded. The enemy can invade your faith, your prayer. As I'm talking to you right now, you are no longer praying like you were praying before, because the enemy removed the wall. You're not safe. You're exposed. Now, let's just say this, that your walls are destroyed. Not only that, but also your gate, your access. You have no access to connections, no access to breakthrough, no access to anything good. And again, good things have no access to you. And again, your things you are depending upon, they have also what? Collapsed. This is where people begin to say, I don't think God exists, or I don't think God hears me. No, he does. Just rebuild your walls and take charge over your gate. Because the life of faith, how God made it, he made it in a way that, you see, I don't know who brought in the Christian thinking. Otherwise, how God made faith, it is for the conquest. You must have a mindset of somebody who wants to take over. But there is this behavior where people are so nice and they think it's Christianity. No, it isn't. Warfare protocols over the walls is not passive. It isn't passive. You have to act. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Don't just sit and say things, I don't know, I'm praying, I've been fasting. No. Be in charge. Stand up in your room and declare, I take over the gates. I speak to my access. Am I talking to you? This will help you. This teaching will help you to map in your prophetic intelligence. When you sit, you begin to understand that, you know what? My gates are breached, or my walls are breached, or both. And imagine, some of you, there are times where finances will start moving well. All you do is to smile. Hallelujah, I have a testimony. You don't even know that actually God is rebuilding your financial walls. It doesn't end there. You must supervise. And you must put serious scrutiny and reinforcement that your walls must remain solid. Otherwise, they collapse again. When God is rebuilding the walls, you must be very serious about it. Are you here? It's a walls of protection. Now imagine this. Nehemiah sees that the walls are destroyed. Then what does he say in verse 3? What does he say?
And they say to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in a great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burnt with fire.
But you see the state of living of the survivors?
They are in distress and reproach.
Why? Their walls
are broken down,
and their gates
are burnt with fire.
Now, in chapter 4, verse 17 to 18, can you read it?
Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, and with the other held, with the other hand they held a weapon.
Tell your neighbor, warfare protocols. Over my walls. One hand, I'll be doing work. One hand, weapon. Protecting the walls from invaders. Can you imagine when they were rebuilding the walls? Scripture says they were rebuilding, one eye open, one eye praying. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are praying. Sharabababa. I want to talk to somebody right here. Say, we are rebuilding. Now, but when we are rebuilding these walls, what will be needed, saints? This is what will be needed. One, when you start seeing miracles, even if they are small, whether a small breakthrough or small something has happened, or you wake up in the morning, you are healthier than yesterday, just know the walls are being rebuilt. Now, what do we do? When in this moment, when things start happening, don't just watch, because the enemy, the invaders are watching that your walls are being rebuilt. They come again and build and destroy them again so that you start all over again to rebuild. So what we do, any moment you sense that something is not moving well, whether your business, your projects, your career, your work, whatsoever could be, when you sense a decline or when you sense a resistance, it is not just something that is happening. It is a call in the spirit that you must act in faith and in prayer. Remove your spiritual weapon. I'm not talking to you. How? I'm going to give you 3 points to do. One, armor up. Armor yourself. Armor yourself. See from the scripture, when they were rebuilding, they were also armed. Armor up. Armor up. Take prayer. Take fasting. Take discernment. Check what's going on with my calling. Check what's happening with my ministry. Check what's happening in my marriage. Check what's happening with my prayer life. What is going on? I used not to be like this. What's happening? There's an invader. Armor yourself. Say, armor myself.
I armor myself.
Listen to me. Before rebuilding, armor yourself. Listen to me. I know you start rebuilding. Look around which walls are falling. Don't just leave them. I used to have this and it's not moving anymore. Come on. Come on. We are rebuilding the broken walls. I prophesy wherever you're watching from, this shall be your portion. Imagine just saying, I used my things now. You know, think about it and tell yourself, I am going to rebuild them. But remember, you have to first of all navigate. Think, which walls are falling in my life? Is it prayer? Is it my seriousness with the things of God? Am I still committed like before? Some of your walls is your calling. Is it my ministry? Is it my pulpit life? Is it my giving? What type of ministry do I have that has fallen? And why? So imagine I've got a ministry of giving and your giving has gone down. Do you know why it has gone down? Because the enemy attacked your financial what? Now imagine that you want to rebuild the walls. Don't just start rebuilding them. Armor yourself. Pray in tongues. Okay? Well, rebuilding. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Have faith. Declare it. Number two. Post watchmen. Put watchmen there for you. Number one watchman that you should actually deploy. And actually, he's actually volunteering himself right now. It's me. I'll be one of your watchmen. Ask me what's happening over my walls, I'll tell you. Post watchmen. Have a friend, an intercessor that you can pray together. That's posting watchmen. Am I talking to you? You can even post yourself. Have one week within a month where you actually pray to say, God, show me what's going on. Create that moment. I'm begging you in the name of Jesus. Go and try it. Where you say, in this week, I'm just going to pray that God should show me where the enemy is invading, where the enemy is trying to attack, and he should also show me how I should pray. I'm telling you, you'll be very shocked. So I've told you number one is what? Number two? Number three, sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Say the alarm. Sound the alarm. This alarm, these are prophetic acts or actions. Okay? They are what? These are prophetic actions. What are they? For example, please do what I'm telling you. Literally, try it. Put an alarm on your phone for a specific time. And make a prayer to say, the moment this alarm will be ringing, it will be a declaration in the spirit that my healing is coming. Now imagine every time you hear that alarm, it becomes a reminder of what's happening in the spirit to you. Imagine putting an alarm, not just pray, oh, it's time I want to pray. No, but this time around, you have prayed over it. It's no longer just an alarm. It's a prophetic thing. When it's sounding, it is announcing man is coming. You just join a little bit in tongue. Even in your heart. And people are wondering, why are you not stopping? You say, oh, don't worry, it does like this. Until it finishes, then you stop it. Somebody say, I sound the alarm. Do it. You will see. I'm telling you in the prophetic things. This, imagine in those days, imagine Elijah, Moses were in our days. We could have verses where it would be saying, and Moses sounded an alarm of his phone. I promise you. Do you think if those men were in our generation, with all these things that we have at the advantage and exposure, imagine. Sound the alarm. Fortify your walls. Raise your right hand and say the following words. By the mighty name of Jesus.
By the mighty name of Jesus.
I rebuild. Every broken wall.
Every broken wall.
In my life.
In my life.
Family.
Family.
Ministry.
Ministry.
Career.
Career.
Every demonic assignment.
Every demonic assignment.
Against my protection.
Against my protection.
Is exposed.
Is exposed.
And dismantled.
And dismantled.
I possess.
And I possess.
My walls.
My walls.
And I declare.
And I declare.
I am protected.
I am protected.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Listen to me as you raise up your hand. The walls we're talking about, God is raising up walls of protection. You will become invisible. Walls of protection. Difficult for the enemy to handle. Complete. No access of an invader. I announce in the name of Jesus. I announce in the name of Jesus. You are protected.